Thank you, choir. I hope we're all friends of God, and I hope He is our friend. Because today we're going to hear about anger. All right. Jimmy last week ended his sermon series talking about the Church of Ephesus. And it's just appropriate that today my scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And as I was studying this week, I was actually studying four different versions. And I know that if I were to ask this morning what version of the Bible you carry, I would probably get more than four versions. Jimmy preaches every Sunday from the New King James, which I have, and I'll be quoting on many occasions today. Many of you probably carry the New International Version. Some probably carry the New American Standard, and some may have the New Baptist Bible, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. So today I'm going to be sharing all four of those translations, and you may hear it come out in different ways, but that's the four that I'll be sharing. Our country is in a mess. If you don't believe it, just pick up today's newspaper or watch the news, and you'll find out that our country has a real problem with anger. More and more people are losing it and taking their rage out on family members, friends, and unfortunately, people they don't even know. One anger management firm stated that one out of every five Americans has an anger management problem. According to an FBI report, approximately 28% of all homicides in America occur from arguments in the home. Anger-related violence is the reason stated for 22% of all divorces of middle-class marriages. Studies show that 79% of violent children witnessed some form of violence between their parents. Oh, it doesn't take but a few minutes to watch the news to see some of the new incidents of air rage. Pilots going crazy, flight attendants going crazy, passengers going crazy. When I was a kid, I don't remember air rage as we see it on the news so often now. And an issue that, quite honestly, I deal with, and I know none of you do, is called road rage. I know that I'm the only one in Coweta County that knows how to drive. Or else, sometimes I think I just get in too big a hurry and the person in front of me is not in the same amount of urgency that I am. But I've really had to deal with that. Because I can't imagine somebody calling the church office and calling my boss saying, you know, your executive pastor, he was fussing at me riding down the road the other day in road rage. That just wouldn't be appropriate. It isn't appropriate for any Christians. I read in Denver, Colorado, that a 51-year-old man used a semi-automatic pistol to kill a 32-year-old bicyclist for cutting him off. Folks, we got a problem with anger. We see evidence of rage every day in the news. And unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've seen what's happened in Aurora, Colorado just in the last week and a half. I don't know about you, but that made me mad. What does it take to set you off? Do you have a temper? Believe it or not, the Bible says it is possible to be angry, but not to sin. Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. What do you think anger is? I'll give you some multiple choice answers and you tell me what you think anger is. Anger is A, normal. Anger is B, an emotion experienced by everyone. Anger is C, a powerful feeling, but one you can learn to manage with practice. Anger is D, not the same thing as aggression, which is a behavior, such as hitting someone. But that may result if you can't bring your anger under control. Anger is E, neither positive nor negative nor right nor wrong to feel. Or maybe you'd like to say F, all the above. Well, if you answered F, all the above, you're correct. At one point during a baseball game, coach came up to the little boy and he said, "Son, do you understand what cooperation is? What a team is?" The little boy looked up and he nodded affirmatively. And the coach said, "Do you understand that it really matters that we win as a team and not as an individual?" And the little boy nodded, "Yes." And so the coach continued. He said, "Do you understand that when you strike out or when a strike is called or when you're thrown out at the base, that you don't argue or curse at the coach or at the umpire or attack somebody else on the other team?" And the little boy said, "Yes, I understand that." And the coach said, "Well, please, son, go over there and explain that to your parents." It saddens me, folks, to tell you I've been to a local Little League baseball game in Coweta County where I've seen that type of action by the players and by the parents. We have many different emotions. We're given those emotions. But where do they come from? I believe that we feel these things because God feels these things. Throughout the Bible, we can find examples of God's emotions. Love, anger, jealousy, joy, and of course, pain. These emotions, I believe, are part of us because they're part of God. And according to my scripture, we're made in His image. If I were to ask any one of you, of all the human emotions that you're capable of experiencing, which one seems the most difficult to cope with? I believe the majority of us would probably say that dealing with the emotion of anger is the most complex and the most challenging of them all on a day-in, day-out basis. Why is anger complex? Because anger can and will surface at some of the strangest of times, brought forth for some of the strangest of reasons, and exhibited in some of the strangest of ways. Why is anger so challenging? Because anger, if not handled properly, can be very dangerous and a destructive emotion. It can be hurtful to us physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. There's always going to be a price tag paid for improperly handling anger. Anyone that's ever experienced an instance where they've let their anger get the best of them, I can assure you will confirm that their actions that they committed were some that they regretted later. The word anger in the Bible is listed 256 times. But let me clarify that by saying that if you go back to the original Hebrew and the original Greek, you'll find that it's not the same word every one of those 256 times. But when they translated the scripture into the English, it was translated into the word anger or angry. Anger is something that we can all identify with, because I know that at one point, one time or another, we've all gotten angry at something or someone to one degree. Some people, however, I believe, have a real anger management problem and need help keeping their anger under control. And I think we can learn today from the scripture how we can get help during these times of anger. Let's look at the text, and I'm going to read you all four versions that I read and studied this week. First version will be the Bible that I carry up here, and that's from the New King James. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." New International Version. "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." New American Standard. "Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity." the Holman Christian Standard. If you look back in Psalms chapter 4, verse 4, you'll see that the first part of "Be angry and do not sin" is in Psalms 4, 4, directly from the Septuagint, and it says, "Be angry and do not sin." But there has to be, and there is, a purpose for anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry." Yet if you go on over to Ephesians 4:31, it says, "Let all anger be put away." So which one is it? Be angry or put it away? Well, to answer that question, I think we really need to know what anger really is. We think of anger as being a bad thing, but it's not. What's bad about anger is the way we express it sometimes. Anger is neutral. There's nothing wrong with anger itself. Anger has a good and useful purpose if used correctly. If it's not used correctly, it can and will lead to sin. And in verse 31 it says, when it's mixed with malice, it definitely will lead to sin. Anger is a physical state of readiness. When we're angry, our body gets prepared to act. It's a God-given instinct for survival. Anger supplies us power and preparedness to our bodies. Wonder if somebody was trying to kidnap one of your children or one of your grandchildren and you saw it going on. Is anger a bad thing? At that point, I don't think it is. But what happens to your body when that happens? Your heart beats faster. The adrenaline begins to flow. More sugar is released in your body. Your blood pressure rises. The pupil of your eyes open wide. You become highly alert. And if you're me and somebody was trying to steal one of my kids or grandkids, I'd get awful agitated and I'd be after them. But I'd be prepared and I'd have more power to do that. Your body's prepared for action. Power becomes available for you to assert yourself. So the purpose of anger is power and preparedness. And anger can be very beneficial when used in the right way. Be angry. So we've heard what the purpose of anger is, to be prepared and to have power. But let's look at the problem with anger. Anger can be very, very dangerous. Remember the verse? Be angry and do not sin. When all that power is mishandled and not brought under control, it can be very, very destructive. If anger is expressed improperly, it can have very severe consequences. The reason why we look upon anger in a negative way is because it's usually expressed through aggression and hostility. You see, there can be a danger with anger if we let it control us, or if we lose control over it. The word danger and the word anger are spelt very closely, with only a D difference between them. When we let the D, the devil, get in front of our anger, it spells danger. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Nor give place to the devil." Don't give him opportunity. Don't give him a foothold. Anger certainly can cause resentment anger. And resentment anger damages the human personality and destroys relationships with others. Proverbs 18:19 says, "It's harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother than to capture a fortified city. His anger shuts you out like iron bars." Well, we've seen the purpose of anger. We've started listening to the problem with anger. Now let's look and see if we have permission for anger. sometimes anger is permissible. Yes, it is permitted. Be angry and do not sin. Jesus got angry, but he never sinned when he did. You've probably heard of this word called indignation, used to describe an anger that rises up in us as a result of seeing someone or something of importance to us being mistreated or suffering an injustice. However, indignation anger is free from rage, resentment, and retaliation. It's a healthy anger that's aimed at the problem and not the person. It's anger for the right reason and expressed in the right way. It's controlled anger that is meant to be corrective and constructive. Indignation anger is the kind that Jesus displayed. The gospel tells us of Jesus becoming angry on several occasions, but it was always of the indignation type, aimed at correcting a wrongful practice or adjusting an unhealthy attitude. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And I'd like to read to you verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 3, 1 through 6. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. The Pharisees had lost their compassion for others. They didn't care less for that man with the withered arm, the withered hand. I personally think they planted him there just to get Jesus in trouble. All that mattered was them maintaining their legalistic obedience to the letter of the law. First Baptist, let's not fall in that trap. They believed their traditions were more important than easing the pain or meeting the needs of another human being. They had forgotten that the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for the Sabbath. Jesus, as it said in the Scripture, looked at them with anger. He is stirred with indignation at what he sees in them because he recognizes their compassionless rule-keeping mindset. But notice how he expressed his anger. He didn't explode in a rage. He didn't call down fire from heaven on them. He didn't allow resentment anger to smolder down inside him. He didn't suppress his anger either. But Jesus chose to channel his anger into carefully chosen words. Words that they couldn't even respond to. So they got mad and went out and started plotting against him. A couple of sayings that I heard: you can't put things across by getting cross. Or to take the wind out of an angry man's sails, stay calm. Just as Jesus did, you and I must choose how we're going to respond with our anger. You're in charge of your anger, not some event, not some circumstance, not another person. It's your anger. You can use it to solve the problem or make the problem worse. Remember the difference between anger and danger, it's the D, the devil. And he would love to turn your anger into sin. Jesus never took his anger out on innocent people. Unfortunately, if we're truthful, we do. Especially those whom we love the most and those that love us the most. Somebody makes us mad at work. We bottle it up inside. We go home and we yell at the wife, or we yell at the husband, or we yell at the kids, or we slam the door, or we kick the dog or cat. People that we love. Jesus focused his anger on the problem. And he never lost the focus of his anger. Anger, in and of itself, isn't wrong. It's how you use your anger that can make it a sin. Let me give you a warning. Anger that is selfish, undisciplined, and uncontrolled is always going to be sinful. What starts as righteous indignation all too easily degenerates to this type of sinful anger. So we've seen there's a purpose for anger. We've seen many problems with anger. We've seen we have permission to get angry. But now let's see what the period of anger is. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad. The Bible tells us so. It's okay to get angry. Control your anger. But we have a time period we're supposed to get rid of that anger. Don't go to bed mad. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There are several ways that you can handle your anger. You can keep it inside. Oh, you can't ignore anger, though. It won't let you. If you try to keep it in, it will eat you up from the inside out. You ever heard of things called ulcers or high blood pressure or heart attacks or depression? When you bury anger inside of you, you're not burying it dead. You're burying it alive. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. But I like a modern translation a little better that says, intelligent people think before they speak. You can keep it in, or you can let it out. If you try to keep it inside, sooner or later, your anger will explode. You can share it with others. You can spread it around. It will ferment inside of you until it comes out in bitterness, rage, violence, or hate. Unfortunately, here in the United States, since the 70s, we've become a nation that's told just to let your feelings out in the open. If it feels good, do it. And this has included expressing anger the wrong way. Now, expressing anger can be all right, providing it's released the correct way. And that, of course, means it has to be under control and it's corrective or constructive, never destructive. You can keep it in, you can let it out, or you can control it. Remember, not all anger is bad. It's bad only when you lose control over it. It's your choice, your decision. You have the control. I'll give you an illustration that's going to show you how ignorant I am about the way cars work. I put gas in my car. I think most of y'all probably do also. Do you know when that gas goes in your car, it explodes? I do now. It explodes many, 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 many times in little controlled explosions that gives you the power to go to the destination of your choice. And that's how we can control anger. We can control it, and it can be good. But if you take that same tank of gas and you light it all at one time, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have one big explosion, and you nor that vehicle is going to get to your point of destination. Think about it. Think about it. Control your anger. I'm going to do a little exercise here. Nobody verbally answering, just thinking yourself. When was the last time you got angry? Truth were to be known, could have been on the way to church this morning. What provoked you to that anger? Why were you angry? Then more importantly, how did you express your anger? So in the light of that little exercise, I'm going to let you categorize yourself. Are you a spewer or a stewer? When you get angry, do you spew all over everybody around you? Or do you keep it bottled up inside you? The Bible gives warnings to both. Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And in today's verse, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. The important thing is to control it and to control it quickly. The sooner you turn your anger over to God, the sooner you can put it to good use. And the less chance that the devil has of turning that word anger into danger. Learn to balance your books every day. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So there's a purpose. There's many problems. We have permission. There's a period. So now let's see how we should practice anger. There are times that we should get angry. The verse says, be angry. And sometimes we don't get angry enough at the right things. We'll get angry when we don't get our way. I do. We'll get angry when somebody hurts our feelings or somebody criticizes us or condemns us or when we think somebody's done wrong to us. But we should really focus on who's doing wrong to God. Not against us, but things that offend Him. Hello? Let's get angry at our sinful habits that cause us to ruin our Christian testimony. Let's get angry at our lack of faithfulness in praying, reading God's Word, and faithfully attending church. Let's get angry at the corruption that we see in the world. Let's get angry at the millions who are lost and dying and going to hell because we don't even invite them to church, much less personally tell them about Jesus. Yes, we need to be angry, but we need to focus our anger on what will glorify God. I believe that God is angry all day long with the wicked, but the minute they give up their wickedness and turn to Him, He will save them. That should be our attitude also. I have a confession. A week and a half ago when I saw the news of the man that opened fire in the movie theaters, I got mad. I got mad at the police officers that arrested him. My anger said, why didn't they shoot him on the spot? Confession, how many of y'all probably felt the same? But then God convicted me right between the eyes. Mike, as long as that man's alive, there's a chance for his soul to be saved. Yes, he's messed up. But remember the thief on the cross? Jesus took him to heaven with him. He loves that man as much as he loves me. But I confess my first instinct was not that. It was anger. Maybe you have an anger problem this morning. Maybe you've buried your anger deep inside you. You've hidden it in your heart for way too long a period of time. You need to release it. I don't mean vent it. I mean release it to God. Because if you don't, it'll turn to bitterness. It'll turn to rage. It'll turn to vengeance. If you keep it, it will destroy you. You have to turn it over to God. Just one moment of uncontrolled anger can ruin a lifetime of testimony. Anger is too unpredictable to allow it to control us. The anger ledger needs to be balanced at the end of each and every day. Don't carry it overnight. If you fast forward to Ephesians 4:31, anger keeps company with some pretty rough crowd. Bitterness, wrath, clamor, slander, and malice. And these ugly traits are always ready to tag along with anger, trying to influence it. Galatians 5:22 is familiar to most of y'all, I hope. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. You can't have a life filled with these four things and be angry at the same time with the wrong anger. Anger is contagious. What you sow is what you reap. Consider the consequences of your words spoken in anger. The next time you feel yourself getting angry, practice love, forgiveness, kindness, patience, and watch how God can use your anger for His glory. We've talked about anger. We've talked about God. We've talked about Jesus and how He got angry. But do you know Jesus? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? We have a promise. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. But the reality is that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the answer is Jesus. Jesus has paid the price once and for all. He bore all of our sins on the cross. But it's up to you. If you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today, my prayer is first of all that you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. That you have a personal relationship with Him and the assurance of eternal salvation. So that when the emotion of anger comes into your life, you have someone to turn it over to and to help you with it, to use it the right way. Today, our hymn of invitation is hymn number 317. Only trust Him. Who else would you want to trust? Join me in prayer, please. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for speaking to me. As Lord, I need Your help with anger management. Lord, I pray for those in this room, those that will hear this sermon, that they'll depend on You to help them control their anger for Your glory and honor. I pray, Lord, for those that need to know You as their personal Lord and Savior, for those that need to make a decision for You today, may they be bold and do it now. And not wait. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.